Blog Talk Radio.
All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Welcome to Truth Ministry. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon, and it's good to be here one more time. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. So it's good to be here with Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Elder Michael Eric Cannon. I'm the spokesman for the King of Glory on the Truth platform on Blog Talk Radio. So it's a blessing to be in the land of the living, to be able to look into the perfect law of liberty, and not for being a forgetful doer, but a hearer of the word of the work, as James goes on to say, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we don't want to just be a hearer of the word, but also a doer of the word. So it's good to be here, and we thank God for everyone that is tuned in to Truth Ministry on Blog Talk Radio. So we'd like to welcome everyone, our LinkedIn connections, our Facebook friends, our Blog Talk friends, our Twitter followers, and also our LinkedIn connections, and in addition to that, our Instagram followers. And so it's just so good to be here one more time on Truth on Blog Talk Radio. And so we have still continuing in our Only Believe series. We're in part six, so we've been talking about the end time signs, and so there's still more to say about that. And so my ongoing theme, the Godhead, talking about the God who is the head of all things. And everyone need to know that there is one God. James 2 and 19, James says, if thou believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So the devil is a liar and the father of it. And you know there is only one God, but he a lie and say that there is a three, which is a trinity, which is a lie. And there's two, but he knows there is only one. So he speaks of himself. He speaks of his own. He is a liar. And like Jesus said, he is the father of lies. And so why we continue on with this ongoing theme, because that's one thing that the Jews know, that there is only one God. And the nation of Israel, they didn't accept the Messiah. They didn't accept Emmanuel, God with us, when he came in the flesh. And this is what I read in the intro. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So they know. They even said one time, "You making yourself the son of God, you say that you are the son of God, making yourself equal with God," because they know that there is but one God. That was the first and great commandment, like Jesus said, "Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and all thy strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself." In Matthew, the 22nd chapter, when they asked that question. And he says, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. In Deuteronomy 6 and 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. So God did not have to stop being God to become a man. He can be whatever he wants to be and never cease to be who he is. So we welcome everyone. We want you to know, as we know, that there is one spirit and one body, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in all. And that is, again, there is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So he's writing to the Ephesian church, one of his Pauline epistles, one of his prison epistles, encouraging them. And so it was horrible, deplorable conditions that St. Paul was in, being in that jail with water running through there, no floor, rotens, and had to have a candle for a light. But he said that these are but light afflictions. So all of this stuff is working far more eternal weight of glory. So said, you know, while the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So these things that we're going through are only temporal. And he even addressed when he talked to the Corinthian church, the things which are seen are temporal, which means temporary, and then the things which are not seen are eternal. So hope that is seen is not hope. In the 8th chapter of Romans, why doth a man, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? He asked the question. And he goes on to say, if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So he's starting off. We're saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. What a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we're glad to be back today again in our Only Believe series, and then just even more we can say about the end time signs. And so one of the end time signs, false prophets for one, false teachers. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. And so in 2 Peter, he says there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So Peter knew what kind of death that he was going to die, because the Lord showed him the kind of death that he would die. And we know that he died as a martyr. He was crucified upside down, which is horrible. To be upside down, your blood running to you, everything running to your head, it was horrible. So he talks about that in 2 Peter, the second chapter. There were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So he's talking about after his demise, is what he's talking about here, of these things that are going to happen. And just to prove that, go back into the first chapter of the second epistle, general epistle of Peter. And so he goes on, he's talking about the exceeding great and precious promises that we have. And he was talking about being partakers of the divine nature, and adding to your, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness charity. And he goes on to say, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, but he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off. So he's talking about spiritually, your heart. And hath forgotten that he had was purged from his own sin, his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. So that's, you know, that's strikes a death lick into that foolishness. We fall down, but we get up. No, he said, if you do these things, you shall never fall. So, yeah, we're going on to perfection. Jesus says, be ye therefore perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:48. That's one of the things that I pondered and looked at when I first came in church. And so as further study of the scripture will show you, he is talking about maturity. What we say, you can't be perfect. He told us to be perfect. Apostle Paul said it. And so that's what he's talking about in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So it's a continual process to be perfected, which simply means maturity. So he goes on here, just like I just read the last clause, if you do these things, he that doeth these things shall never fall. For so an interest shall be ministered abundantly under you, the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So that's why we always talk about the baptism in the name of Jesus. It's so essential. It's imperative. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That is present truth. That is not going to matter after the church is raptured out of here. Going to be in another dispensation. So it is even in the book of Joel, talking about the prophecy. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your men shall dream dreams. Young men shall see visions. And Joel 2:28, upon the young men and the servants and handmaids in those days, he says, I'll pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Then he goes on. That's a whole nother dispensation. That is why Peter did not go continue that message in Acts when he preached, talking about the fulfillment of Joel 2:28, when he preached the first message on the day of Pentecost. But I want to establish a point here as I go on here. I think it not meet as ye, as long as I am in this tabernacle. So Peter was talking about, as long as I'm living, talking about himself, to stir up you up by the putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. So we pay very close attention to repetition. He said the same thing again. So in other words, he's going to leave this body. The Lord showed him what death he should die, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able after my decease. There it is again, that ye to have these things always in remembrance. We have not followed cunning devised fables. We made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Case in point, an apostle is an eyewitness. That is why, without contradiction, I flatfoot stand boldly and declare, according to the word of God, there are no apostles alive today, period. So he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So in other words, I'm pleased in the sonship, in the office of sonship. This voice which came from heaven, we heard. We who? Peter and the rest of the apostles, the ones that were with him, Peter, James, and John, who were apostles, we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that you take heed as unto a light that shines in a dark place till the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So that's what we were taught. Say what the word says. Rightly divide the word. Study to show thyself, 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's when he goes on, he continues in 2 Peter, the second chapter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways, by way of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So we will continue with that here. But we want to let everyone know that I am now, like I've said on all of the broadcasts, within the last 5 or 6 weeks, I think last week I failed to mention that I relocated from the state of Michigan to the state of Florida, and I attend Vision Worship Center, which is located at 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where Dr. Kevin Chandelou is the bishop, the founder, and the senior pastor. So our worship services on Sunday convene at 9 a.m. every Sunday of the month except for the first Sunday. On the first Sunday, our worship service starts at 7 a.m. That is, every first Sunday, our worship service starts at 7 a.m. And then the rest of the Sundays of the month, our worship services are at 9 a.m. That is Vision Worship Center, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave, Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069, where the pastor is Dr. Kevin Chandelou. He is the bishop. He is the founder and senior pastor. And also our Bible classes, or we call them solution studies, are on the first and third Tuesdays of the month at 7:30 p.m. That is, the first and third Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. is our solution studies / Bible class. Then on the second and fourth Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. is intercessory prayer. So should you be in the South Florida area, you are welcome to come visit and worship with us at Vision Worship Center. So we're located in Pompano, 1071, like I said, 1071 Northwest 31st Ave in Pompano Beach, Florida, 33069. So we are located, we are just north of Fort Lauderdale, and we're in between West Palm Beach and Fort Lauderdale. So we would be north of Miami on the Atlantic side in South Florida. So you are welcome. So just wanted to let you know. So this is where I am located in South Florida. And so I've been a longstanding member of the Pentecostal Assemblies of the World, which is headquartered in Indianapolis, Indiana. But at presently, presiding bishop, Charles H. Ellis III, who is the pastor of Greater Grace Temple in Detroit, Michigan. So we're glad to be able to bring the Word of God. So I am a product of Enon Bible College, and so I'm glad to be here. So I'm declaring the Word of the Lord. And so it's I thank God for the blessing to be able to be a spokesman for the King of Glory, because he called me out. Like Peter said, you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So I'm glad to be a witness, amen, of the Lord. And so he kept me. I'm here by the grace of God. Come hell or high water, I've been through. So I'm here. It's only because of the grace of God, even the same testimony like many others had. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us, not just me, but God is our helper. And that's why he told us to come boldly into the, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was tempted like as we, and yet without sin. So he goes on to say, let us therefore come boldly, which means with confidence, to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need, what the Hebrew writer is saying. So it's because of the grace of God, and I'm grateful for that. So we're moving on today. So we're talking about the end time signs, which we have been talking about in these last six sessions, including today. So false prophets, false teachers. And so what is going? People are being deceived by words which people use. And so everybody got it. Apostle Paul had to deal with that. He had one of the most gifted churches, the Corinthian church. He had to set them in order because they were out of order. That's why he wrote those two books and talked about the spiritual gifts. And even in the book of Romans, he talked about spiritual gifts also. But St. Paul even said himself that after his departure shall grievous wolves come in, men going to rise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So we know there was only nobody there because Judaism was done away with. No, they didn't like it, because that's why Jesus said, these are the words that I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. This is what the Lord said. So he did away with that. So he is the fulfillment of the law. That's why he wrote, when he wrote to the Roman church, for Christ is the end of the law to everyone that believeth. And so many don't understand, because you just can't pick up the Bible and start reading, because the letters are to people that are already saved. They already been through the Acts of the Apostles, which is where salvation is. They were under the law. The four gospel writers, which are writing about the one gospel. So to get the salvation experience, you got to do what the apostle said. He gave it to them. Ephesians 2 and 20, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. So the apostles are dead. And in Matthew, the 13th chapter, he says, when men are dead, you know, after men are dead, that's when the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. So he made plain what is the mystery of the wheat and the tares. And, you know, the children of the wicked one, the enemy is the devil who sowed them. The angels are the reapers. The seed is the word of God. The field is the world. And so that's another thing to deal with. But anyway, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Because remember, they were under the law. That was done away with because he was the fulfillment of the law. So he's the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. This is the 10th chapter of Romans. Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Now this quote is out of Deuteronomy. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead. And then he goes on to say, but what saith it, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Keep reading. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. There's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Question. How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? Question. How shall they hear without a preacher? Question. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings. So he goes on to say, they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Elias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? That's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. So he goes on here, so then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I say, have they not all heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the end of the earth. So we got to understand what he is saying here. So you got to have a preacher. You got to believe the gospel. And so he's not saying two different things. And so you can't preach if you're not sent. And so that's why he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth, that ETH, keep on believing, and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So words that people say. So you cannot, an ambassador is someone who represents another country. You can't represent another kingdom, or a kingdom is a domain of a king. You can't represent somebody you don't know what the doctrine is, what the teaching is of that particular kingdom. So you're running off with the wrong information, because you got to be born again. You can't see it. That's why he told Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he can't see it. So in other words, you can't understand it. And so he goes on to say, can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? Let him know. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot see, enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. In other words, don't wonder what I'm saying. Wind bloweth where listeneth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. And that's exactly what happened. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them clothing or divided tongues like as a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So you got people there mocking. Peter said, these men are full of new wine. So Peter stood up and said, no, they're not. They're not drunk as you suppose. This is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel. That's Joel 2:28. It shall come to pass, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And so he's saying, doesn't matter who you are, Jew or Greek or Gentile. That's why Peter understood in the 10th chapter of Acts, he was saying, I perceive God as no respecter of person, but in every nation, him that feareth him and worketh righteousness is acceptable with him. So he came to save souls, not skins. He don't care what color you are, what nationality you are, and he proved it on the day of Pentecost. People were there from every nation under heaven. They say, we do hear them speak the wonderful works of God. We hear them speak in our nations wherein we were born. So the message has not changed. So you got all of these different denominations and all of this stuff that came in, and like I said, after 300 AD, Constantine had this revelation of a so-called Trinity, is when they changed the doctrine from the baptism in the name of Jesus. Everybody was baptizing up until persecution, up until when they did the Dark Ages. You know, they tried to shut it down, but God already had made a way. Nobody was going to stop him. So it broke out in the United States in the early 1900s and kept breaking out, and the Holy Ghost is being poured out all over the world, even until now. Just like they said, if it be of God, be of men, it's going to come to naught, but you're going to find yourself fighting against God. You think you're going to, as they were preaching in the book of Acts. So the devil is a liar and the father of it. And like I said, I've seen things, because I've been in here since 76. So this so-called sower seed and this foolishness, you know, that people came up with, and these so-called apostles and prophets, and I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, like some people, like, you got to have somebody to be hardcore and all of that. No, you preach the word. I mean, there are different administrations, but the same Lord. There are people that preach the word, and the pastor is the one that will have to come. If somebody is wounded or whatever, he got to bind up the wounds. Not this foolishness these people are coming up with, and the so-called prophetic. And like I said, just you think about it and meditate on it. The prophetic, you can't be prophetic outside of the prophetic word. And so in the New Testament, he does address that. And so there's no secret about it if you really think about it. And too many times leaders are not dealing with this. So he tells us to follow after charity. Now, that charity is the Holy Ghost. Because the 13th chapter, you know, charity, all of these things, charity is the bond of perfectness, which means you can't do it without God. God is love. God, love is not a attribute of God, but God is the source and the supplier of love. So it's because of him. So he goes on here, 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, follow after charity, desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. That means preach. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. So he's, notice now what I was said earlier and today in this broadcast, that the Corinthian church was a very gifted church. You can't have a gift of the spirit unless you have the gift to begin with. So just like I said on before, people use a quote, they say gifts and callings come without repentance, but in reality, they're quoting that wrong. He says, because he's talking about in the 10th chapter and 11th chapter of Romans, Israel and how we were grafted in and how they were the people with the oracles of God. And he goes on to say in Romans 11 and 29, for the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. So God called Israel. God gave Israel the oracles of God. And he's not going to repent of it, or he's not going to turn from Israel, or he's not going to change his mind. That's what repentance means. So he's dealing with other nations. He's going to bring them in, though they are the lost sheep of the house of Israel initially that he bought in. But he's going to bring in Israel, and they are, in the book of the Revelation, the 144,000, the remnant, the 12 tribes, 12,000 from each tribe. They're going to have to give their lives, and then they're going to, that's why the scripture goes on to say they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the words of their testimony. So that's the tribulation saints. That is not us. We don't overcome by that. We overcome because we're here. We're walking with him. He give us the victory to overcome with the world, John wrote, even our faith. We keep believing him and walking with him. But what I want to go on here to say, to prove the point of these so-called, these people talking about these prophets, all these people doing is so-called speaking a word. I mean, this is not about individually, giving somebody a word. Sure, I believe in the local church, some people do need an individual word. That's why you have a leader. Things can be revealed to your leader. Everything is not public for everybody to know. Some people are dealing with some stuff. They're, the devil coming in like a flood, warring against people's minds. But the gospel is to be believed by everybody. But he said, but he that prophesieth, so a prophet prophesies. He that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, to exhortation, and comfort. So I've noticed people talk about these so-called prophets like they're judges or whatever. That's crazy. There are no more judges, not in the respect like they were back in the Old Testament. Then not only that, when you're going to deal with that in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 14 and 29, he says, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If there be any anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. Then he goes on to hear, for you may all prophesy. That means preach one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. And he goes on to say, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace in all churches of the saints. So everything got to be done in order. God is a God of order. So this foolishness, these lying preachers telling people to sow a seed, which money is not a seed. A seed is your offspring. A seed is a literal seed that we plant and grow vegetation and grow wheat. That's what he talks about. Literal rain, literal snow coming down from heaven to earth, make the earth to bring forth and the bud. In the 55th chapter of Isaiah, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He's talking about natural seed to the farmer and bread to the eater. It's an analogy. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth not return unto me void, but it's accomplished the things that I send it, saith the Lord, and prosper in that which I please. So money is not and never was a seed. And so these lying preachers, lying to people, telling them to sow a seed, which is a lie to begin with, and God's going to release the anointing. So that would make God be like a casino. And they got these lines naming out different amounts of money. That is a lie. Because the scripture says, as a man purpose in his heart, so let him give. So we know the tithe that was before the law, the tithe is a tenth. Everybody gives equally. If you make $1 million a year, then your tithe is $100,000. If you make $100,000 a year, your tithe is $10,000. If you make $10,000 a year, then your tithe is $1,000. It's 10%. Really, to make it easy, if you make a dollar, you pay a dime. If you make $100, you pay $10. So it's really simple. You make $50, you pay $5. That's 10%. But the gift, the offering is up to an individual. That's where you really get blessed at, with the offering, because the tithe, the tenth is the Lord's. So the free will offering is where your blessing is. That's why it says, every man purpose in his heart, low, so let him give, not grudgingly, you know, or necessity. And he goes on to say, God loveth a cheerful giver. So this is these lying prophets have made a scene out of. I saw one, like I said before, on Facebook Live, which I know what channel he was on, what church it was. This pastor had this lying prophet in there, so-called, asking people for money, and if they didn't have it, to ask their neighbor for it. I mean, that's ridiculous. So you're making people feel bad, and then the pastor bragging about how good he's living. It's just ridiculous. It makes no sense. He didn't die for nobody. So God is not against nothing. You doing what you should do. You're not living in a manger, you know, born in a barn like the Lord was, because there was no end for him to go to. So we're not saying that. It's just the fact that everybody should be doing their job, not fleecing people with all these ridiculous amounts of money that people want so they can live good. So, I mean, every church has goals and has purposes for what they do, and people's hearts be made willing to do. People have been blessed to be able to give for certain things. They do that. Because people do that. People have food banks. They feed people. A lot of churches do different things, which that's what God wants people to do, to remember the poor. So, and then that is nothing wrong with that. I'm just talking about these lying people that's not even, they put no emphasis on the salvation of souls. And they want to knock people out. And seen this one preacher putting oil in people's mouth. I never heard of such. That is totally ridiculous, because James says, if any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And he goes on to say, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. So it's the power is not in the oil. The power is in the name of the Lord Jesus. So the truth will make you free. So this is what Peter is talking about. So this is what we're dealing with in these last days. As I so said before, we are not dealing with persecution. I mean, devil, sure, it's a mind game. He always was a real fool in trying to blow your mind. But what we're dealing with today is false teaching and false doctrine, which will have you lost. Because we dealt with all this kind of stuff years ago, which, you know, the question was, which is worse, false doctrine or sin? I mean, false doctrine is horrible. I mean, maybe you can realize if you are in sin, you don't have a reprobate mind. Like, you need to get yourself right. Because whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. The writer, Hebrew writer, says, then are ye bastards and not sons. So God loves you. He's going to chasten you. So it's for our good. You know, he talks about a natural father. He ain't got no pleasure in that. So God doesn't either. He want to get people's attention to walk right. And so you cannot buy a blessing. And I mean, it doesn't matter. You folks will be like they used to have a saying, and it's truth. Like I read the scriptures before that Jesus read out of the Old Testament, and they took him to the brow of the city that they might throw him over the cliff headlong, but he disappeared. And so the truth, the word of God will make you shout and glad, or the word of God will make you fight and mad. So some people, and that's why Paul told Timothy about to preach the word and what he should do, and he was letting him know in 1 Timothy the 6th chapter in the 10th verse, he went on to let him know, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. So it's the same thing now. People, you know, everything, they try to act like you got a God done something for you. You got to pay. You can't pay your way out. You pay the tithe, the tenth, a free will offering. Present your body a living sacrifice. That's what God wants, which is holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what he wants, is you. He don't just want your money, but he wants you to be a witness for him, all of us. So this is what we have to do. We can make that excuse every week. That is not going to stand. Oh, yeah, my heart was there. You know, I'm there whenever I want to come, every now and then. That's how some people do, as they say. Yeah, but my heart was there. No, it wasn't. Your heart is where you are. There's times when people... things happen where they can't get to the house of God. Some people have to work on Sundays. Some people may be out of town. Some people have everybody. Things happen, and I can probably count the number of times that I wasn't in church since I've been saved. And there's not a whole lot, and sure didn't go a long time being sick or whatever. I mean, if you're sick, you don't need to be there coughing all over everybody either. That's you're sick. You know, don't claim it. No, you're sick. Your body come from the dust. So you need to tend to that. Get yourself right. Not go spread your germs all over the place. So there's justifiable reasons why we should we wouldn't be in the house of the Lord. Other than that, you know, your job or you're out of town or whatever, but not just sitting at home because you discouraged. No, you got to fight through that stuff. Realize that your blessing, he's told us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another as we see the day approaching. He goes on to say, if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sins, which simply means Jesus is not going back to Calvary. He died once. He rose again. That's all done. He made the atonement. And so once at the end of the world, he appeared in the presence of God. The Hebrew writer says, put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. So God has all enemies, a lot of enemies, many enemies. So that's why Apostle Paul talks about us being changed in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. But God has many enemies because people want to do their own thing, lying and cheating and stealing and taking bribes, the same stuff they was doing back in the Bible days, in the days of the judges, in the days of the kings. All of that stuff they were doing, lying and taking bribes and all, is just more sophisticated now. Laundering money, moving it electronically to other countries and all that. It's the same stuff. And God is, he knows everything. He's omniscient. He is all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere in every place. His eyes behold the good and the evil. And he omnipotent. He has all power. But everything's going to be fulfilled just like he said that it would. And so as we've talking about here, Peter saying there are the false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. So that just goes on. It's going on even into today. Because I'm not going to buckle under the load or not be strong and of a good courage. Just like the Lord told Joshua after he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Only be strong and of a good courage. He told him again, only be strong and of a good courage. I was with Moses, so shall I be with thee. So it's the same right now. He told us he'll be with us. He has said, the Hebrew writer said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And he said, Lord, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we know he is with us. He's not going to leave us. The question is, with us, are we going to continue? Like he said in St. John 8:32, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And he went on to say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so he's talking about many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So now we would ask people, I remember years ago, they asked people, are they saved? And they would say, I'm Catholic. You know, God doesn't care about no so-called denomination. That's why I asked the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? That's what's important. You love, like he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. So he commanded them, Peter, when he preached to the Gentiles at Cornelius' house, to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the command. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Then so he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So it's the same message. And so should you desire to call in while we're still doing this live broadcast, our call-in number is 929-477-2285. That is 929-477-2285 on this June 5th, 2018, that we are still have a few more minutes left in our broadcast. Should you have a question, should you have a comment, you are welcome to call in 929-477-2285. So he goes on, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And he goes on to say, so we're going to look here even at some of the things that we talked about in previous broadcasts on this only believe end time signs. God spared not the angels of sin, but cast them down to hell, delivered them into change of darkness, to be reserved in the judgment. Spared not the old world, save Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. So that, remember, the days of Noah, we talked about that as one of the signs. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly. So we talked about that. That same-sex marriage, that's rotten, it's nasty in the sight of God. Two men together call themselves husband and husband. Two women together call themselves wife and wife. It's rotten to the core. It's nasty, and it stinks in the sight of God. And I'm saying with God, marriage is between a man and a woman. God made the woman for the man. And when he brought Eve to Adam, he was happy. End of that. So it's the same thing. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with the overthrow. Like I said, made them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. So in other words, he was troubled because he sat in the gate of the city. If you read back in the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So in other words, he couldn't go nowhere until the time that God delivered him out of there. But he goes on here, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. So these people think they're getting away. Don't matter who your name is, how much money you got, you can't buy God. You're not going to bribe God. You're not going to drive your luxury car to heaven, to the pearly gates, and pay your way in. He don't play that. It's everything is his anyway. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. So he can't be bought. So that's why he says a man's life consisted not in the things that he possesses. So that's what people think, because they got stuff. And like I said, people are drunk on things. So he goes on here, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, these despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. So there's a lot of things going on with other nations, and, you know, it's not going to be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. That's why in the book of 2 Thessalonians, the 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, after he talked about the catching away of the saints, then the 5th chapter he says, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you know that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. He's talking about after the church is taken away, and he, wherefore comfort one another with these words, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. So he's talking about still the Lord catching away his people, and he talks about that in the 25th chapter of Matthew, five are wise and five are foolish, and then the rapture of the church in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and then the change in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. So the Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He was the type of the rapture of the church. So he was taken, he was translated that he should not see death. So that's why Paul said, we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But he goes on here, of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Ye yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And here's the part that I was going, just making mention of, about the peace treaties and all this stuff. But then they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, cometh upon a woman with child, upon them as a travail, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Then he goes in here, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. They that sleep, sleep in the night, they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us put who are of the day be sober. So that's talking about sober-minded also, putting on the breastplate of faith and love and a helmet, the hope of salvation. And he goes on here, people keep saying the church is going to go through half of the tribulation. I mean, I don't understand people. If you just read the scriptures, study the scriptures, the answer is in the word of God. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another also as ye do. So this is the big event we're waiting to happen. So this is why God is letting people meet people. And so there is no, sometimes we think it's a coincidence, but like back way back in the day, they would write letters, and God knows how long it would take. Because I was just wondering, like, how did they communicate? Because, you know, they probably had rail. That's one of the old, other than riding beasts, one of the oldest modes of transportation was rail. You know, they didn't have cars back then. So, and people wrote letters. So the mail had to be delivered. Nowadays, we have instant messaging. We have short messaging. So we could connect with people. Like I've said before, I don't take it lightly, because you really, when you, I have people that are on in social media, be it relatives, sons, grandchildren, people that I went to school with, people that I was in church with back in the past, and also people that I have met on social media, met people on Facebook that I met in person, met people in person that were doing live streaming. So we're real people. So God knows how to bring people together. So it is no coincidence that you meet certain people, you meet on purpose. And you got to know that. You got to realize and recognize a connection, be it male or female. People meet. It is a heart connection. It's something about that person, whoever it is. We got to know as a child of God that this is God. This is God, because certain information and destiny is tied to that. That we, things that we should know, God does that. We can connect with people. And then old friends connect. So that's how God works. So we're in the last days. And so we have to be careful, and I'm not going to just eat anything. So that's why the Proverbs 23:23 says, buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So buy the truth. I'm not going to just eat anything out of these lying false prophets' mouths and all of this stuff. You know, they're trying to prophesy over people and all that. You got to be careful, because there's a motive, there's a spirit behind that, and a lot of times it's the evil spirit that is behind that. And so we thank God that we just have to take heed, like the master said, that no man deceive you. So it behooves us to listen. So thanks for listening to Truth Ministry. I hope this word has been a blessing. You can email us at truthministry5525@att.net. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And like I said before, so this is the scripture, that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. So we thank you today. And so you have to watch and pray. And so you don't want to be deceived. So that's why I propose the question, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? God bless you. We'll talk to you on next time.